Well, good morning, folks. Hope everybody's doing all right today. And it'll feel funny this morning not asking you to turn to Psalm 23. So I'm going to ask you to turn to the first epistle of John. 1 John. We'll try to spend some time here and maybe be a help to the saints of God. That's always our desire. And I appreciate everybody coming out to Sunday school this morning. And so hopefully most of y'all are aware, but this would be one of the five books that we have in our Bible that we would consider to be written or very closely involved with the Apostle John. You know, we don't always have a perfect idea of who pinned it down necessarily, but we understand, I think, by the language that John was very, very much involved in this epistle. And so hence the name there. And if you read, I think, 2 John there, it talks about John the Elder. So that's sort of where we get our idea. We've got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. You have the book of St. John, and then the book of the Revelation that he helped. Well, the Holy Ghost wrote it, and he just allowed the Holy Ghost to use him. So how about that? But anyway, you know, we know John as the beloved, right? He calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. I think he had a special relationship with the Lord Jesus. And if there's any disciple that we can learn something from, it would definitely be, he would be one of them I'd want to. He had a special love for the Savior. And he was the one that Jesus looked at there and said, "You look after this lady," at the end of Jesus' life. I mean, just what a special man, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and still love the Lord.
Yep.
And so anyway, this epistle was, I've got a little book that kind of outlines different books of the Bible, all the books of the Bible for me. And just, I read through it, and some of the information, it said this would be one of the latter epistles that were written. It was written in the close, toward the close of the first century. So it would have been after probably the writing of Paul's epistles and all those things, the way I understand it, sort of around AD 90, 95, somewhere around in there. But this epistle was, you know, different from some of the others in the sense, Kevin, it wasn't really normal because he didn't have any specifics. He didn't use people's names.
Right.
He didn't call out people, Brother Matt. He didn't call out places. He didn't specifically mention any events, John. He just directed everything he had. It was like a shotgun message to all believers.
Right.
And he said, this applies to everybody.
Yep.
Everybody. So his audience was very broad. He says, when you read it, you'll find this overwhelming theme of who he's speaking to. He'll say, my little children,
right,
my brethren, beloved. It's although it's so, you know, it said that although it's so impersonal, not specific, you know, directed at any specific person, it's very personal, Joe. When you read it, man, it's so warm and inviting to the believer. I don't know about you, but I found tremendous help.
Absolutely.
For me personally in this book right here.
Yeah.
And the main themes that I find, the main theme, the overwhelming theme of the book is regarding the fellowship of the believer with the Lord Jesus and the Father. That's the overwhelming theme in the whole book from front to end. And you find answers to questions like this, you know, what is fellowship with God like? What should it look like? How to have fellowship with God? How to hinder your fellowship with God? The effects of our fellowship on ourselves and on those that are around us. You find all those things, and that's what this book is about. Not so much about relationship, very much so about fellowship, but at the same time, he makes it very clear that you must have that relationship before there can be any fellowship.
That's right.
So I hope you understand the difference in relationship and fellowship. I can be related to somebody. Let's say my dad's right here. I'm definitely related to him. I'm related to him and my mom and my sister. But I could have no fellowship, Brother Delmer, with them, right? It's a messed up relationship to have a relationship without fellowship.
Amen.
Would you all agree with that? Most of us, if we have a relationship to somebody, we desire that that fellowship be good, especially when that relationship is close. And there's no closer relationship than a father to son. You know, that one generation difference. You know, that's as close, as far as relation goes. You know, obviously, you know, the relationship with husband and wife. But as far as what we would say, you know, relationship, kinfolk type thing, no closer. And man, I'd hate a life without fellowship with my parents. And there's people that have to deal with that. But as a child of God, we don't have to.
Right.
And we can live our entire life as a believer in fellowship with Him. And I hope that's your desire here this morning. If you want to see anything happen for God in your life, you better want fellowship with Him.
That's right.
You don't just, this thing is not a let's get saved and get a ticket to heaven and then have no interest in God. That is not salvation of this Bible. Bible salvation makes a difference. You gain an appreciation for the Savior, a love that you never had before. And because of that, I mean, we say this all the time, we love Him because He first loved us. See, I have a desire for fellowship, Brother Kevin. I feel bad when I don't have fellowship with my Savior. That's like if I go a week or 2 weeks without fellowship with my wife or without fellowship with my family, that starts affecting things. Things are no longer right anymore. It didn't change my relationship with them, but it sure does change things. And we don't lose our salvation. Hope everybody understands that. Once you've been born, you can't get unborn. But it's easy to mess your fellowship up. It's real easy. The way we live, the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we think, all of those things can have effect on our fellowship. And so we find that the apostle, when you read this book, he goes and he tells us what his purpose in writing is. In verse 2 of chapter 1, he says his purpose is to show us eternal life. And then he says, in verse 3, which would be what I would call the theme verse, that we might have fellowship. He says that you might have fellowship with us, and that fellowship is with the Son and the Father. But then in verse 4, he also says, he writes that your joy may be full.
Amen.
And so those are all purposes that he has right out of the gate. And then we find some other purposes that he wraps up with at the end of the book. In chapter 5, he says in verse 13, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I'm glad that we can know, not that we will have or that we may have, but we can know that we have. That is present tense. So I can know right now that my life is eternal. I don't have to wait till I get there. And there's a lot of people that's waiting, and John, they're hoping. But that's not scriptural. Hey, this is an eye-opener for people. You get to talking to somebody that says, man, I hope I make it, Matt. I use this on visitation sometimes. I'll say, have you ever read over there in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13? They'll say, I don't know. I said, there's a whole book that's written that's dedicated to you.
That's right.
That you might know that you have eternal life.
Thank God.
Folks, it's important that you know. I don't want to not know.
Right.
I mean, there's been times in my life I've doubted. There's been times I've went back to the Lord and said, Lord, I want to make sure that this thing is right. And I'm okay with it. There used to be a time I wasn't okay with that. But I'm okay with that. It's too important to miss.
Yes. Right.
And if you have no concern about it, and if it don't ever affect you, it don't ever bother you, you don't ever think twice about it, I kind of question your interest in it. Folks, I want to make it sure. But now, I'll be honest, as my time goes on, as I'm in this thing more and more, as I know more about this book, as I know more about the Savior, that need for that reassurance goes down and down. Because God's already took care of some of that for me. And but as a young believer, as a young believer, Kevin, there were times I'd read something and maybe I might not understand exactly right. And I'd think, well, Lord, is this talking about my relationship? Did I lose my relationship? When all it was talking about was I messed my fellowship up. That's what it's talking about. And so that's why Paul told Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to know what he's talking about. Know who he's talking to. All scripture is for us. But right, it's not all directed to us. Now this book is directed for us and it's directed to us. It's broad. It hits us all. And you can take every word of this book and know that it applies to you. And I'm thankful for it. It's been a big help to me. So that you may know that you have eternal life. And then he goes on to say in the latter part of the verse, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Yes. And I believe what he's saying right there. I mean, he's already talking to brethren, little children, beloved. But he's saying at that, when he comes down to the end of this thing, he's telling them that you may believe, you may have confidence in your faith, that you have eternal life and that you can go on throughout life just believing that he is the Son of God and he's got this thing. And if you're in him, you're secure. Yep. And so that's, you know, a little introduction to the book. I like it. And if you've ever read it, I believe you ought to like it too. If you don't like it, you need to read it until you like it. How about that?
I like it.
We'll get started here in chapter 1, verse number 1. We'll read the first four verses. And I'll try not to be as slow here as I was in Psalm 23, okay? But there will be some times I have to slow down. The Lord's already showed me a few times I'm going to have to slow down because he's blessed me with some thoughts, and we'll get through it. But I'll try to get through a few verses as the Lord allows me. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write I unto you, or write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Yep. And so we have sort of what I call the introduction into the Word right here. And so we see right out of the gate, he says, that which was from the beginning. And you got to understand, if this is the Apostle John writing this, he's going back to that time. I don't think he's so much going back to creation, although that's how he started the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, right? The Word is with God, you know, all those things. But I believe what he's talking about is right here. He's going back to the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and specifically the manifestation of Jesus in his personal life, in his personal testimony. Because he goes on and explains, he says, that which I've heard, that which I've seen, which I've looked upon, which my hands have handled.
Right.
He says, man, I've been all over this thing. If anybody knows about it, I do. That's what he's saying. And I believe he's excited as he's writing these things. He's happy to be writing. So it's that which was from the beginning. He said, I've seen it from the very get-go. I know what happened. He says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. So he's going back to the start in his mind. And so as I think about what he's saying, I love the way that he puts it when he says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. I don't know, that just does something for me, Because what that tells me is that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He chose to manifest Himself, He did it in a way that would appeal to the senses of mankind. You understand that if I was going to get a hold of Him, if you were ever going to get a hold of Him, He had to manifest Himself in a way that we could grasp. You see, in his infinite, eternal state before He was begotten, they couldn't say, we've seen Him.
That's right.
They couldn't say that we've looked upon Him. They couldn't say that we've handled Him. You understand, we had no access to Him. But He made Him, what He's saying is, He made Himself accessible. And specifically, He's saying to us. I don't know who "we" and "us" applies to. I don't know who all was here when John was writing this. But you notice there was more. Because he talks about His fellowship with us. And I don't know how you got in this thing, but I venture to say that it was the same with you. That there was a day that the Lord Jesus first appealed to my ears.
Go ahead.
And John put it that way. He said, "That which I have heard."
Yep.
And I'm reminded that faith cometh by hearing.
Yes.
And hearing by the Word of God.
Hey.
Now the only difference between me and John is he got to hear it directly from the embodiment of the Word of God. I got to hear it from this Word. Either way, it's the Word.
Hey.
It's the Word. And but man, I'm glad that there was a day that the Word of God fell on my ears. And if you're here today, you got in the same way. The Word of God hit your ears. And you had a choice, right? Whether you want to do something with it or not. That's the way it works. You could hear it, and you could choose not to look. Say, "I don't want any more." Then he goes on to say, he said, "Which our eyes have seen." As eyes have seen. Now, Joe, the next step, you might hear it.
Go ahead.
And then you turn and look. You remember what John said? "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 9, or 29. And John, we got a John in here, amen? What a blessing. But you can hear with your ears, and you can see. But there's a difference in seeing and looking. And I'm afraid that there's people that stop at hearing and they stop their ears and say, "I want no more of this." And there's people that hear and then they get a look and they say, "I don't want no more than that. That's all I want." And they close their eyes. But then there's some of us that liked what we heard and we liked the first look that we got. And so then it says, that which we have looked upon. So not only did he just get a glimpse, but what he's saying is, I couldn't take my eyes off him.
Right.
He said, once I beheld him, I couldn't stop looking at him. There was something about that man that stuck out to me in a way that he was different than any other man. And all I could do was behold him and look upon him. He just understood that he was different. And that which we have looked upon. And then I couldn't help but think about Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. Ever since I've looked to Him, I've been looking to Him ever since.
That's right.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. And my oh my, it's good to look to Him, isn't it? But you can hear and you can see and you can look into Him. But then he goes on to say that our hands have handled of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
What he's saying is there was a day that I got a hold of Him.
Right. Thank God.
And aren't you glad if you're here and you're born again today? There was a day that you got a hold of Him.
Yes.
And you didn't just get a hold of Him, He got a hold of you. And it didn't stop, and He's still holding on to me. There was a day that we touched Him, and He touched us. And the Bible says that we've laid hold on eternal life, and we lay hold on the hope set before us. And then I thought about Thomas. Thomas got a hold of Him after He resurrected, right? And he said, "My Lord and my God." There was a day I did that, and I'm thankful for it. And Peter touched Him, didn't he? He was sinking down in the water, and he said, "What? Lord, save me." What's the next part say? What did the Lord do? He stretched out His hand. Guess what the Lord did? He touched Him. Peter was trying to touch the Lord, and the Lord said, "Let me just reach down and I'll touch you." He met us. He said, if we'd draw nigh to Him, He'd draw nigh to us. And I'm thankful that, man, there was a day I got a hold of Him, and He got a hold of me. And I'm not letting Him go, and He's not letting me go. And if you're saved, you ought to feel the same way. Would you want to do this thing without Him? I'm not interested in it. Are you? What hope do we have beyond this thing? It's only in Him. So I don't want it without Him. But I'm glad, I don't know about you, but I'm just glad He manifested Himself to me. I understand that I'm different than John in the sense I've never laid my physical eyes on Him. I've never heard His audible voice. I've never touched Him with my hands. But there's coming a day.
Yes.
If you're born again, we yes. are going to do all of those things. I believe that with all my heart.
Yes, sir,
I believe
brother.
With all my heart, there's going to be a day that you and I are going to get to hear Him with our ears. We're going to get to see Him with our eyes. We're going to get to look upon Him
yes.
for all eternity. And we're going to get to hold on to Him.
Hey.
And He's going to be holding on to us for all eternity.
Right.
And that's the hope that we have. And I'm glad to have it. And I hope you're glad to have it too. But what a progression that we have. And as I said, this progression I think is typical in the life of every person that comes to Christ.
Yes,
I think you have to hear. I think you have to see. Now I'm talking about see through the eyes of faith. You see yourself for what you are. See Him for who He is. And then it goes beyond just seeing and getting a glimpse. You look to Him. You have to look to Him. If you never look to Him, it's not going to do anything.
Right.
To hear and to see, folks, you can do that in passing. I bet Zacchaeus was glad he did more than just get a glimpse from a distance.
Yes,
he said he sought to see Him who He was. He said, "I want to know that man."
Hey.
He said, "I'm willing to climb a tree to get to Him. I don't care what I look like. I don't care if I look like a monkey. I'm going to get up this tree and I'm going to look at the Savior. I want to see what He's all about. I want to know Him." And guess what happened? Because he was interested in the Lord was interested in him.
That's right.
And I believe he got to handle Him, don't you? So I'm thankful for that. So what a progression that we have. And how this thing of faith, it starts at such a distance. I mean, we're under condemnation. You understand that. But, I mean, unlike Romans chapter 8 that starts with no condemnation and no separation, I mean, that's a blessing. But the truth, we were farther than that.
Right.
We were under condemnation. But, man, you make it through this progression, you get a hold of Him, there is no separation.
That's right.
So we go from condemnation to separation, or no separation. So I'm thankful for that. So it starts with a distance and ends with no distance. So I'm glad that we heard and we saw. But you understand that the only reason that you ever got to hear or you ever got to see is because He chose
right.
to put Himself in your proximity.
Yep.
He put Himself at the church you were in the night you got saved. Or the bedroom you were in, or the car you were driving. He chose to put Himself there and made Himself accessible to you. And He made Himself accessible to me. And that's a blessing. He did not have to do that. He got the bad end of the deal. And I'll say that till the day I die.
Absolutely.
He got the bad end. We got all the good. And so he didn't have to do that. But he chooses to put himself there for us to be, for us to hear him, for us to see him. But we have to make the choice whether we want to look to him or not. And whether we're going to reach out for him or not. I'm not a Calvinist. There's some real smart people that are. I'm not one of them. And I believe there's something that's required of you in this thing of salvation. I'm not talking about work. I'm not talking about going and performing anything. I'm talking about you've got to reach out to him by faith. It still does say, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. You've got to reach out to him. He draws nigh to them that draw nigh to him. He makes himself available. He makes himself accessible. You've got to be wanting him. You've got to have a want for him. And, but I'm thankful he does everything. I mean, he gives you the faith to believe. You just got to exercise it.
You're right.
However all that works, I can't explain it. But I just know that there is a choice, and all this comes by faith. And there's nobody here that's laid eyes on him physically or heard him audibly. But man, I hear him speak through this, don't you? When Brother Kevin's up here preaching, don't you hear him talk? Man, sometimes I quit hearing Kevin. Ain't that a good thing?
Yes, sir.
Do you ever just quit hearing the preacher for a little while? And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm saying sometimes the preacher just tones out. And the big preacher shows up. And you're here. Sometimes it happens in the singing. Sometimes the singers
That's
are
right.
singing, and I forget what they're saying because all I'm hearing is the Holy Ghost. And he's preaching my way. And I like it. And I hope you like it.
Yep.
And I'm thankful for when he does it, ain't you? So he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. And you notice that that word in your Bible should be capitalized. So that's talking about a person, right? We all hopefully understand that. The word, we learned that from the other epistle or the other book, the Gospel of John, exactly what he's talking about. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And we'll save the rest of that for later, but we will skip down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what that tells me is that there's no question to you and I who He's talking about. Does anybody have a question about who John is talking about? Shouldn't be. He's talking about the Word of God embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who He's talking about. He says, that's the one I've seen. That's the one I've heard. That's the one my hands have handled of the Word of life. He said, I got a hold of the Word, and I found out that He was full of life. That's what He's saying, the Word of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You all know John 14:6. I like John 5:39. Says Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which what? Testify of me.
Hey.
Jesus said, hey, if you know the Scriptures and you think you got eternal life in them, if you didn't know it, they're talking about me.
Right.
If you have eternal life, you got to have it through the person who is life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you all know, hopefully, John 11:25-26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You believe that?
Amen.
Folks, He's the Word and He's the life. He's all of the Word and He's all there is of life. If you get life, it'll come by Him. He's where you get it. There is no life anywhere else. Life's in the blood, but it's specifically in His blood. I mean, we all got life in our blood physically. You drain our blood, we'll die. Man, that's just a picture. Folks, it's in His blood we find real life.
That's right.
And so I'm thankful for that. Where are we at on time? I have no idea. Okay, I got just a couple more minutes. Amen. We'll move on just a little bit. Get through verse 2. It's pretty short. If I can get in the right book. Verse 2 says, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." So what we see here is that the life that He's talking about, He's talking about the life that is in the Lord Jesus. It was manifested. You look up that word, that means that it was made clear, that it was disclosed, it was made apparent, obvious, evident. Hey, He made Himself apparent. He made Himself evident. He opened Himself up. He showed everybody who He was. Christ was made clear. He was made obvious that there was no question who He was. And it was declared in John chapter 1. I can't help but flip back and forth between these. John chapter 1, we're talking about His manifestation. John chapter 1 verse 29 says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So there you have John the Baptist manifesting Him. But then you go on, it said, "This is He of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel." See, He was manifested to Israel first. "Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw," He said, "I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Amen. So John bore witness of it. And then we see that the Spirit, by descending and lighting upon him, bore witness of it, right? And then we have the Father in the other passages that we see that looks down and He says, well, He said, according to which gospel you look at, He says it two different ways. I think they heard it two different ways. I think Jesus heard, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I think that's what Jesus got to hear. But then I think the people that were around got to hear it differently.
That's right.
That's, if you read the gospels, you go read them, you'll see what I'm saying.
Yep.
Then the other gospels say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So the Father bore witness of Him. He made it manifest. He made it clear to all those around that this is Him. And there's no question who He is. And then Jesus Himself bore witness of it. We were just reading with the kids the other night, or last night, I guess it was. And you remember the young blind man who got healed? And you know, the Pharisees started coming by and asking, you know, what happened to you and all these things. And he said, "Look, I don't know. All I know, maybe he was a prophet." And he didn't know him, John. But they cast him out of the synagogue, the Bible says. And ain't you glad when you get outcast, the Lord will come by?
Amen.
And so then the Lord Jesus comes by and starts telling him about the Son of God. And he says, "Who is He, Lord?" He said, "I want to know who He is."
Yeah.
And he said, and Jesus said, "The one that's speaking to you right here am He." He said, "I'm Him." So the Son of God declared it. You know, they would ask Him questions and He'd say, "Thou sayest." Right?
Yep.
He said, "You're telling it right. I don't have to tell it. You know who I am." It was clear to him who He was. The problem was there were some that were blind and they were willingly blind. And because they chose not to believe, God blinded them more. And let's not be that way. But I'm glad that it is manifest clearly. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Look at 1 Peter with me, chapter 1 and verse 18. First Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For as much as you know," man, I love this passage. We learn so much from it. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your father or from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world." See, he's always been there. But the latter part of the verse is what makes it real special. "But was manifest." He was clearly shown. He was put down in front of the world, manifest in these last times for who? For you and for me.
Thank God, brother.
Ain't you glad of that?
Yes,
sir. See, he could have stayed up there in the heavenlies and never manifest himself to you and I. And he would have still been as much God,
yep.
Still been as much the Son of God,
right.
Still been as much God. And still being as righteous and as holy as he always ever was. But he chose to do that, to make himself known for you and for me. And I'm thankful for that. So manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. He did it so that we could put our faith and hope in God. So I'm thankful that he made himself manifest. And the latter part of this verse, as we wrap up for today, says, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness." He said, "I'm telling about it and show unto you." I'm glad that we can show people, aren't you?
Sure.
"That eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." So he says, "Declare we unto you." So he's showing it unto us. And he's been made manifest to everybody in here, I believe.
Right. Sure he has.
But how much declaring and how much manifesting are you doing of him to others? I mean, that's the question. John cared so much about what he had seen, what he had witnessed, that he wanted other people to know about it. But what about us?
Right.
Do we care about what he's done for us enough to want to tell others about it? Don't you think that's a good question for us all to ask? That eternal life which was with the Father, I'm glad it came down to this earth, ain't you? Made it known to us that we could get a hold of it.
Right.
So that's good attention from everybody today. We'll pick back up there next week. We'll have prayer for anyone that wants to pray back through there.